Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord. He is more than enough for me. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen and amen. It's good to be praising the name of the Lord here on a Wednesday night. The United States of America, coming from the state of Arkansas, to whomever will listen. So So I thank God for another week. Here we find ourselves kicking off the last 2 weeks of our 140 days of fasting and prayer and Bible reading. We thank God for what He's done for us thus far, and we know that the enemy is not going to sit back and just let us take more ground. So we need to keep pressing on. Hallelujah. I know and I believe that Jesus Christ is my healer. I believe that He is my provider. I believe that He is my everything, my all in all. Praise be to His name. His most excellent name should be praised forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. That's my testimony tonight, is that He is all I need. He is all that I need. And that's quite a statement to make, saints. And it's easy to say, it's harder to do. So I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, we will make it true in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that we will make it true, that no matter what circumstance we would find ourselves, whether alone, whether in prison, whether without food or water, we can say, all I need is Jesus. There was a time where Jesus asked His disciples to go get bread, and they went away, and they got the bread, and they came back, and He said, I had bread to eat that you know not of. But He didn't have a meal. He was feeding on the Word of God. And there is a lesson to be learned by all of us in that, because the Word of God tells us in the book of Job that I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Praise the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. And we thank God for that precious Word, that most precious Word that is a living fountain within us. His Word is more precious than anything we know. His Word is more precious than anything that we know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His Word is a mighty, mighty Word. It is a holy and mighty Word. Hallelujah. Whatever that you know and think to be mighty, the Word of God is more powerful. It is more powerful. Hallelujah. The Word of God can change nations. The Word of God created worlds. The Word of God created people and all the animals. The Word of God does all of these things. Amen and amen. And that is why the Word of God is more persecuted than any other thing that on this earth. Here this week we had some people that were shot because they were at this convention where they drew the prophet cartoons of the prophet Muhammad. And this is some kind of persecution, I suppose. But the Bible is the most persecuted book. Let's keep the record straight. Many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, have been put to death for carrying this book. There's no other religion that can claim such. There's no other religion that has been persecuted even by people that say that they're of the same religion as much as Christianity and holders of the truth in the Bible. In the early part of this, the previous millennia, Christians were put to death for holding the Bible by the Catholic Church. They were burned at the stake for holding the Word of God. And even now, the Bible is illegal in many countries. I was reading the latest Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and it said there are people that are risking imprisonment and torture that smuggle and print Bibles illegally. And that's a glorious thing, because they've accounted the Word of God and the laws of God more than that of man. Even in this time, reminded that the laws of God are more important to be followed than the laws of man. And so these people risking their lives. If that were the case, saints, what would you do? That's my question tonight. If it tonight became illegal to own a Bible, would you own one? If it became illegal to distribute the Word of God, would you distribute it? And I think the convicting thing for us to think about is, while it's free to print, what do we do? And if while it's free to spread, what do we do? And while it's not against the law to minister, do we? Do we minister when it's free? When you're free to do it? I would think that unless God gets a hold of our heart, if we don't do it while it's not against the law, the likelihood of us doing it when it's against the law is not that high either. So this is one of those things that we need to commit to prayer. If this is striking your heart, to say, God, change my heart. Amen. But there are people that are risking their lives to print the gospel in other parts of the world. And they've not gone to seminary, and they've not gone and gotten great teaching. But by the sake of their testimony and their lives, they're living the gospel more so than many people that have. And we need to make sure that we are attaining the standard that God has for us by His grace. And whatever He's called us to do, we need to be able to do it. Amen. There are people that are being industrious for the sake of the gospel, spending the hours of their day not trying to figure out how to prosper in business, but spending their time, how can I spread the gospel even further? How can I take the gospel to the people of my country? Amen. Hallelujah. So there's brothers and sisters starting underground print shops to print the Word of God. That's the power in that word. Going back to why we started on this path, the devil knows the power of the word, so what does he try and do? Shut it out. Cut it out. That's the best plan that he can do, is to get the Word of God out of print. That's why so many communist and Islamic, etc. regimes forbid it to be read. That's why the Catholic Church forbid it to be read for many, many centuries. And even now, they say you don't need to read it that much. I mean, for the most part, Catholic people don't read the Word of God. They'll go to Mass and church and things, but the power is in the Word of God. And if you're a Protestant believer, if you're not Catholic and you believe in the Word of God and the truth and have become born again, and however other way you want to describe what being born again is, if you are that person and you are not reading your Word, not reading the Bible, not taking it in, then he's done the exact same thing in your life, even though it's perfectly legal. He's caused you to burn that book figuratively. And it is the power of the word, the power of God is found in that word. The truth of God is found in that word. Righteousness is hidden in that word. Power is hidden in that word. So the enemy doesn't want you to read it. He wants you to spend your time. Maybe you've had a rough day. Maybe it's been a tough day. And you say, you know what I really need to do is just watch a show or get my mind off things. The best thing that you can do to take your mind is to spend time in prayer and reading. But your flesh doesn't want that. I get it. I understand. Your flesh does not want that. It wants to be comforted and consoled and laugh and eat and drink. But the spiritual man understands that God is the one that brings refreshing. And so, to the flesh, what I'm telling you does not sound appealing at all. I totally get it. I understand. Going and spending time in the Word when you've been had a rough day or a tough day is not what the flesh wants. But true restoration comes through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. There's power in that word. And so, saints, I just continue to encourage you to be reading the Word of God. Not just reading it for the sake of saying that you read got through a chapter, but let it pray before you read. God, speak to me. God, show me your truth. God, speak to me in this word today, the words that I need to hear. And he will do it. He will do it. And you will find in that word grace, mercy, and peace. Hallelujah. Here we are on a Wednesday night. We're going to offer up prayers because the enemy wants to bury us. That's the truth. The enemy wants to bury us. He wants to bury us, bury our plans. If I know that he wants to kill because that's what the Bible says. He wants to destroy because that's what the Bible says. He wants to destroy you. I want you to get that. Please listen to me tonight. The enemy's goal is to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. So you should be able to look around and see how the enemy is trying to destroy you. I can look around and see the enemy trying to destroy me, trying to destroy destinies, trying to destroy families. I can see that. And when we're not careful, when we're not diligent, when we take our eye off what's important, he makes headway. In some cases, he actually does it. Using some examples from the Bible to be safe, I'll show you that he did that with Saul. He did that with Judas. And there's more that can be said. Korah. For a time, Aaron. For a time, Solomon. For a time, Samson. Destroying destinies. And there's more to be said about these things. But he's trying to destroy you, saints. Please hear this. What God has planned for you, the enemy has put in resources to destroy that plan. He is putting forth resources to bring that plan down. And I want us to turn to Matthew 27 as we set up tonight's encouragement before prayer and the thing that God has on my heart for us to pray. Hallelujah. I want you to see God has a plan, saints. And if we walk in his ways, that plan will always come to pass. That plan will always come to pass. The enemy can't stop God's plans, and he can't stop God's plans in general for coming to pass, but he can in specific. And what I mean by that is that God's plan is going to come to pass. But his plan for you may or may not, depending on your response to the Word of God. Judas is an example. Judas betrayed Jesus, and Jesus knew he would betray. But that wasn't God's perfect will for Judas. Perfect will was that he would be saved. But he wasn't. But he did have 12 apostles. So God's will in general did come to pass, but in specific, it did not, as far as it turns to Judas. But God's plan, it still goes forth.
He will come back. He is returning. There's no amount of our disobedience that will keep that from happening. But where we spend eternity, that's a different matter. So we need to be serious about this. Because the enemy is trying to stop you. The enemy knows these things. He knows that his days are numbered. He might deceive himself from time to time saying that he's going to win. But ultimately his desire is to take as many people with him as he can. So he's trying to destroy you. My brethren, he's trying to destroy plans for you. Brothers, sisters, children, how is he trying to destroy you? The way he destroys everybody. Through either persecution, through trials, through difficulties, through deception. Deception of the world, that the world has answers that you're looking for. Although you can look at the people that have had the best of the world and you can see their bodies scattered across the earth. Any joy in what they have to offer long term. Hallelujah. Matthew 27, I want to see this. Want you to see this. Matthew 27. Amen. Matthew 27, verse 62. And it says, now the next day, this is after Jesus was crucified and put in. And let's just put this, let's just go back a little bit. 27:57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, amen, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So first thing, there was a great stone that was rolled for the door. A great stone over the dead body of Jesus. Now the next day, the Pharisees came to Pilate, and in verse 63, they say, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said, you have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Amen. Now this is a physical representation of what the enemy does in the spirit against every destiny of God's people. And we are going to pray against it tonight, because right now the enemy is doing the same thing to our destinies. In some cases, we talked about the dead bones rising last week. And this is the theme that is in my spirit in these last 2 weeks, is the dead rising. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because Jesus was dead in this tomb, and there was a large stone that was put in front of it. Amen. It was a large stone. Well, I don't know. I've heard some people say it would take 4 men to move it. I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know. But it was a great stone keeping the body of Jesus where it was. But that wasn't enough. You see, the enemy doesn't just stop with making things a little bit sure. He sits back and he plans and he says, make it as sure as you can. Let's throw all of these troubles and trials and tribulations at these saints to make sure. Make it as sure as you can. That's what the enemy says. Make it as sure as you can. It's not enough that you gave him this, 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 and this. Continue. How did he deal with Job? Continue to lash it out. Lash out, lash out, lash out. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. And if you're not going through the fire, you take note of what I'm telling you, because this is how the enemy deals with situations. He knows no end to his cruelty. He will dish out and dish out and dish out until there is nothing left. He will leave no chance. Make it as sure as you can, he says. Amen. Make it as sure as you can. So they go to the stone, and then they seal it, and then they set a watch. Is that enough? Is that enough? Amen. Soldier upon soldier, they have sitting there watching the tomb to keep the body of Jesus from coming back. Hallelujah. This isn't the only time. I want you to turn to Daniel 6, and we know the end of the story. Daniel 6. Now, here was the law of the land. In Daniel 6, it says that he's not supposed to pray to anyone. Amen. Anyone but the king. That's what Daniel is supposed to do. In verse 11, it says, the men assembled and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they came near and they spake before the king in verse 12. And they said, have you not signed a decree that man should ask no petition of God except for you, O king? In verse 13, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regards not your command, but he makes his petition three times a day. The king, when he heard these words, was displeased, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him, but he could not, because vain is the help of man. Then these men assembled and said unto the king, king, know that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. And now the king spake and said unto Daniel, the God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And that's what the enemy does. Put him in with the enemy. Put him in with the lions. Seal up the door with a great stone. Seal that stone with a decree that cannot be changed, saying, this is what happens to a man who disobeys my word, the enemy says. This is what happens to the person who disobeys. This word, this law cannot be changed. And I seal it. That's what the enemy says. That the purpose might not be changed. That's what the enemy is trying to do to you. He's saying that the purpose might not be changed. That the enemy's purpose for your life will not be changed. Make it as sure as you can. Make it as sure as you can. Put a big stone, seal it, and put guards in front of it. But the enemy is a fool. Hallelujah, he is. And he'll show his foolishness time and time again when it comes to God. Cannot keep God's purpose from happening. Our only job, saints, our only job is to be on his side. What will he try and do when Jesus is coming back? Something foolish. I'll try and stop you with tanks and missiles and armies of men. That's what he's going to try and do. But hallelujah, it will be of no avail. Neither were the seals or the stones. Because going back to Matthew 27, I want you to go to 28 now. In verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I would have liked to have seen that. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the lions' mouths were stopped as angels came and held their mouths shut. And Daniel was saved, and the seal was broken, and the decree was changed, and the people that meant to be, the people that meant to have Daniel destroyed ended themselves being destroyed. In this gospel, there was that the Pharisees tried with money and deceptions and all kinds of things to keep it quiet, could not be kept quiet. For God's purpose and plan will come to pass no matter what the enemy tries to do, no matter how many trials, no how many troubles, no tribulations will keep God's word and his plans from coming to pass. For your life, for my life, for everyone's life, as long as we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of our ways so that he will direct our paths. God's purpose and plan will come to pass no matter how many seals, no how many stones, no how many soldiers, no how many lions, no matter how many adversaries. God's purpose will come to pass for your life in Jesus' name when you trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not trust in the arm of man, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Peel apart that verse, saints. It means that there's going to be times where things don't make sense to you, but you trust God anyway. Hallelujah, that's faith. And God has been a rewarder of those who have had faith from the beginning of time. Hallelujah. There's going to be times, saints, where you've got your Isaac sitting on an altar and God says, kill it. Lean not unto your own understanding. He will direct your paths. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I give him praise. I give him glory. I give him honor. For he alone is able to do these things. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. We're going to pray tonight, saints, this prayer, as we enter in these last 2 weeks of fasting and prayer. Amen. We want God to get the glory. We want his name to get the glory. And he is going to get the glory in Jesus' name as he brings these things and scatters our enemies in Jesus' name. So we're going to pray along these lines as God would have us tonight, and we'll wrap it up from there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all power is in your word. In the name of Jesus, for it was given unto you when you rose from the dead, for you were obedient in every circumstance. You were obedient in every situation. You were obedient, hallelujah, even unto death. You were obedient unto the Lord's commands, no matter what the enemy threw at you. Hallelujah. He threw trials of false brethren. He threw trials of pain and suffering. He threw trials of hunger. Trials of cruel mockings. Insults and injuries. And you were obedient for our sake because you loved us. And we don't quite understand how it all works, so Heavenly Father, but we know that in your law and in your ways that you do accept substitutes. You accept substitutes. One who should deserve pain and suffering and death, you will allow one to take the place of it as long as it is clean. That's what you taught us in your law. And Jesus was clean, an acceptable sacrifice. And he took the pain and the beating for us. And he is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, with that blood of Jesus, cleanse us of all of our sins and forgive us of unrighteousness and thoughts that we've had that were evil and our disobedience and the things that we've not wanted to do that you've asked us to do. And we've done other things, Lord, that we should not have done. Forgive us of these too. Forgive your church, Lord. Cover us in the blood. Forgive us, Lord, for leaning on our own understanding. Forgive us, Lord, for being rebellious. Forgive us, Lord, for not listening to your word. Forgive us for giving you lip service and saying things that are easy to be said, but hard to be done and understood, especially when we try and do them out of our own strength. Forgive us, Lord. I pray for your grace upon us, Lord, at this hour, at this time, to strive for the mastery, to be temperate in all things, to be working as hard for the gospel as an Olympic athlete trains for his event, O Lord God. Help us, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Send your grace unto us, O Heavenly Father, so that we might continue. Hallelujah. O Heavenly Father, you know the situation of each person that's listening to this prayer. You know my situation. You know every situation. You know that the enemy, better than we do, has sent his workers, our adversaries, to try and stop your glorious work in our lives. Making it as sure as he can to destroy our destiny. Oh Lord, draw us under your wing. Draw us unto you. O Lord God, open up the door unto us. There are things that he's planted centuries ago, your plan from coming to pass. Things he's put in our families. Things that he's put in our past. Things that he's put in our present. Things that he's planned for our future. Could be trials at work, trials in our relationships, trials of health, trials, in the midst of the saints, financial worries, trouble with friends, persecutions, trouble at school, trouble at work, all things to keep us distracted. On the stone, on the seal, on the army, on the lions, on the paper that says this purpose shall not be changed, instead of on the God who can send angels to scatter the armies, to break the seal, roll the stone away, and stop the mouths of the lions. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask, O Lord God, I come boldly before the throne of grace, because you've even asked me to do so. I come boldly before that throne, Lord God, to say, send forth your angels to move the stone, to break the seal, to scatter the armies, to raise the dead, to take off the napkin from the face and fold it and put it to the side so that the dead will rise. That those that have been appointed unto death by decree of the enemy, that the mouths of the lion shall be stopped, and the seal will be broken from that stone, and the stone rolled away, and every enemy shall be thrown into the very pit that they've prescribed for us. In Jesus' name. O Lord God, by your grace and your mercy, hear this prayer and do. For only you can do. Command, Lord God, your angels for a greater. I can't see them, but they are greater in number than those that are against us. Hallelujah. This is the truth. They are greater in number than they that are against us. Hallelujah. O Lord God, send them forth to bring forth your purpose for our lives. For your purpose in our lives. For your purpose in our lives. That the enemy's purpose will be destroyed. In these next 2 weeks, let the enemy's purpose be destroyed in Jesus' name. Let them be destroyed in Jesus' name. Let them be destroyed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let the enemy's purpose be dissolved. Let his seal be broken. Let the stone be crushed. And let your purpose shine forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your purpose shine forth in my life, in the saints' lives, in my children's lives, in our wives' lives, husbands' lives, in the church, Lord God. Let your purpose be done. Hallelujah. Grant unto us the living water, the bread of life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord of hosts. Glory be to God in the highest. Give him praise, saints. Give him praise. For if we ask these things believing, anything that I prayed tonight that would be against the will of God? No. So if we pray believing, saints, he says he'll do it. It's that simple. O Lord God, grant us the faith to believe, nothing doubting. In Jesus' name. O Lord God, look upon the weakness of our flesh, Lord God, and strengthen those parts which are not strong, Lord God, which are not comely, the things that are curved and going, taking us out of the way, Lord God, heal them and help us, Lord, to overcome. O Lord God, send your help by your grace and mercy, send your help, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We need to keep pressing on, for that's what God has called us to do. Keep pressing on, saints. Keep pressing on. Hallelujah. Keep reading the word. You say, oh, I don't have enough time, or my work is tough, or it's been hard. Keep reading, saints. Keep reading. Keep reading. As much as you can, keep fasting. Keep praying. Let us not grow weary in the work that God has us to do. Let us press on, for he has new heights for us to obtain. Hallelujah. Amen. So, this next week, it's week 18 that we're entering now. If you are continuing on reading the Bible through, the second time you'll be somewhere in the midst of the Gospels at this point. Perhaps the end of Mark if you're doing it beginning to end. So after this, saints, after this is over, I just say, hey, keep reading. Whatever God has put on your heart, continue to do it, because if you've gone through the Bible in 140 days two times, don't stop there. Don't just let the Bible sit on your counter and say, well, I read it through twice. Or if you did less than that, just keep going, saints. No shame. You just keep going with what God has for you. God has put you. We've been praying, saints, that God would bring us to higher ground. So keep going to higher ground. It's going to require more dedication from your part to hit higher ground. That's the truth. So as we begin to get to the end of this, and I start to prepare you for what comes next, because I'm not exactly sure what comes next but be thinking about it. What comes next? What will I be? What will I do different? In the mighty name of Jesus, things will be different. Amen. I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ is on the throne. No matter how bad the situation, he has a way of changing it around. Hard to imagine a worse situation than Jesus Christ himself was in. A dead body in a tomb behind a stone that was sealed and guarded by men, soldiers. The best army on the face of the earth at the time, guarding the tomb, and none of it mattered. Hallelujah. That is the power of God. That's the God I serve. And in Jesus' name, if we abide faithful, we will see that power with our own eyes. Amen. In Jesus' name. My love to you all. Continue on in the work of the Lord. Continue to be asking God, what would you have me to do? You have a calling to fulfill. So do it in Jesus' name. Don't do more than your calling. Don't do less than your calling. In Jesus' name, it'll be so. I pray that you will have a blessed week. My love to you all. And we will catch you next time. Next Wednesday, Lord willing, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. You can catch any episode that you might have missed on www.blogtalkradio.com and search under Gathering of the Saints, or you can go to www.gatheringofthesaints.com and hear the same. May Jesus Christ be praised in your words, in your thoughts, in your heart, and in your actions. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Born again. You hear the bells ringing, the singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen, just as he said. Quickly now, reach out and receive it. But Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he's risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be healed right now. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ be well revealed now. The angels, they all surround us, and they are ministering Jesus' power. But this could be your glory and die.